Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you ever so much, Hazel. Thank you, Angela, for leading us so well this morning. As Hazel said right at the start, Ian invited us a few weeks ago, didn't he, to share some of our favourite Bible verses so that we could sporadically put them into this series. And I love a good autobiography, so mine isn't a favourite Bible verse, it is a book. So I've got autobiographies downstairs, particularly of sportsmen and sportswomen, but actually in the Bible, I love a good autobiography. And Nehemiah is a fantastic autobiographical story of a great leader. Now, for those of you who know me, may well know that Nehemiah has been an inspiration to me all of my Christian life. In fact, back in 2007, I spent an evening spending a bit longer talking about Nehemiah, because he is, for me, just a great Christian, a role model for great Christian leadership. Just a little bit of background about him. He lived about 450 years before Christ. He was a very important person. He had an important job. Whilst living in the southern part of Iran, he was the cupbearer to the king, which meant he had to drink the wine before the king drank it to check it wasn't poisoned. That meant he was in the king's presence. So he was an important person. He had an important role. However, that job wasn't his passion. His passion was to know and to ensure the well-being of the people that he was part of, the Jewish nation. He was in exile. Many of the Jews were in exile, and he was desperate to find out how things were going. And then one day, his brother Hanani and a few other men turned up, Nehemiah questioned them. And he really just desperately wanted to know how things were. He questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and that also wanted to know about how Jerusalem was. And what he heard was very disturbing. And you know, most leaders nowadays, don't they? They just want to have their voice heard. They want to talk. They want to hold the airwaves. They want to be on the screen. They want to tweet a lot. They just want to be heard. Whereas Nehemiah wanted to listen. He wanted to use his ears. So instead of having a big mouth, Nehemiah had big ears. He questioned. And when he found out that actually the situation was very, very bad, Jerusalem had been destroyed, the walls were rubble, there was famine. The people that were in Jerusalem were in turmoil. His response to that was fantastic. You know, for me, if there's a problem, if I see there's a problem, I often just go rushing in. I've got to fix this. I'm a problem solver. I'm going to fix this. I see the urgency. I'm going to sort it. Nehemiah saw the urgency, all right. He definitely knew that what was going on was urgent. But what he didn't do was go straight 2 feet first to fix it. He didn't rush. So sometimes it's really important, instead of just rushing in to do things when things are urgent, just to take your time. And what did Nehemiah do? Well, when he heard those things, he sat down and he wept for some days. He mourned and fasted and prayed to God. In fact, that probably wasn't just some days, that was probably weeks, months. He didn't rush. He prayed. He brought it before God. And then after some time, about four or five months, he had the opportunity. He was working one evening, and the king spotted that he was sad. And he said, "Nehemiah, what's up? Why are you looking so sad?" Now, this was when Nehemiah took his chance. Nehemiah had to make himself vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. Because, you know, when you're spoken to by the king, you have to be very careful what you said. If he said the wrong thing, he would definitely lose his job. he may well lose his life. Nehemiah made himself vulnerable because basically he said, and this was a very bold request, I want to go on furlough. I want to stop working for you for a little bit, please, King. I want to go back to my people in Jerusalem. Will you please let me do it? So, you know, he made himself vulnerable, but he really made a bold request. You could expect the king, couldn't you? You know, this guy who looked after him and did a very good job saying, no, absolutely not. But, you know, because God was in this, not only did he say yes to Nehemiah's request, which was to write some letters to the leaders in the Trans-Euphrates, so as he went back through Iran, back up to Jerusalem, that he would have safe passage. He also said, what else do you need? He said, well, actually, I need some wood, some big beams of wood to go above the gates and the doors of the in Jerusalem. So the king wrote letters to the guy who looked after the forest and said, give Nehemiah all that he needs. You know, so sometimes you have to be vulnerable. Sometimes you have to be bold. But when you are, if God is in it, he will bless abundantly. So Nehemiah went, he travelled back to Jerusalem. When he got back there, he rested for 3 days. A very important lesson, isn't it, to make sure that we get enough rest, particularly when we're working very hard at things. So what did he do then? He didn't say, right, you, get on with it, go. He went and assessed the situation. There's an excellent book that I read many times and given away many times to young leaders called Learning to Lead by a guy called Cha Wei Chuan, who used to head up IFES. And in this book, he talks about leaders as stewards. He talks about leaders as servants, but he also talks about leaders as shepherds. And a shepherd in our days rather have a sheepdog and will stand behind the sheep, or he'll be on his buggy driving the sheep from behind. But in biblical times, the shepherd will always take the lead, always go before the flock. And that's what Nehemiah did. He took a couple of people and a donkey, and he went and assessed the walls, went and assessed the damage for himself, so he could make the plan of how they should go ahead. And when he came back, and he'd seen all that, he gathered the people, and he inspired them. He shared the vision. He inspired them to say, look, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burnt down. Come, let's rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. And straight away, you see, as we saw earlier, everybody was getting involved. Everyone had a job to do. Nehemiah was able to inspire, to share the vision, and to organise them into their work parties. And you know, when you're doing God's work, there's always going to be opposition. There is always going to be doubt. You know, is this really the right thing? Should we really be doing this? Well, that was the same when they were rebuilding the wall. There were Tobiah, Sanballat and others were desperately trying to stop these walls being beaten because they saw this as Nehemiah doing a power grab and would stop them from having control. So they put doubt in. They even said things like Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even if a fox climbed on this wall, it would break and the walls would just collapse. And that put doubt into the people's minds. So Nehemiah looked at that. He made people keep going, but he also put things in place. Half the people were then put to defend whilst the other people worked. But, you know, when God is in something, you will get opposition. You will get doubt. But to be able to keep people going and put things in place to enable to keep people going, was just fantastic. And, you know, this was hard work. They finished this in 52 days, from the start to the finish of rebuilding all of the walls around Jerusalem and all of the gates. It took them 52 days. Now you think of Stanks Island up in Warwick. Think how long that has taken just to do a couple of roundabouts and a couple of pavements. 52 days to do all of this work. This was exhausting work. And you know, people were starting to get hungry, starting to really run out of energy. And Nehemiah cared for the people. He cared for those that he was working with. And he said, what's going on? And they said, well, look, the Jewish authorities have taken our land from us. They've taken our livelihoods. They've taken our houses in taxes. And we have nothing. We can't pay for food anymore. And there's a famine going on. Nehemiah cared for his people. And he went and he sought to fix the injustice that had been set upon them. And he went to the leaders and they said, look, give back to them immediately their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves and their houses. Because this is not right. These people are doing God's work and you have taken from them for your own benefit. And now they haven't got enough to even live on, to feed themselves with. Nehemiah sought justice. And the leaders responded. So there it is. They finished the work. They built the walls. 52 days. They were probably exhausted. But what did they do? They gave God the glory. They gave God the honour that was due to him. Ezra stood up on a big platform and started reading from the book of the law. And everyone, I think it was 42,000 people or something like that, everybody stood and joined in. But you know what they did? They were taught that when the book of the law was read, they should be somber, they should be sad. This was a serious thing. So that's what they did. But actually Nehemiah said, no, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what God has done. Look around. This is absolutely amazing. Have a feast. Go and get all the food that you can. And for those who haven't got food, give it to them. Let's celebrate what God has done. Let's have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, is one thing that Nehemiah said. He enabled them to keep going. He enabled them to do this. God had given the strength to complete it. So they celebrated. They had the biggest concert in history. They had one choir on one wall. They had another choir on another wall. And they sang and they celebrated and they praised God. You know, one of the important things that we see through the book of Nehemiah is that he talks about we, not me. Even when he prayed the first prayer, he wasn't saying, Lord, I haven't done anything wrong, but for those people over there, Lord, I pray that you would bring them out. No, he took upon himself to say, look, I and our forefathers have done this. This is our joint responsibility. Lord, would you keep your promises if we return to you and restore the walls of Jerusalem? He didn't just get on and take all the glory for all this. He got the team to work. This was all about we. And once they finished, everybody stood and confessed their sins and the sins of their forefathers. They did it together. They all made a joint commitment to try and do the right thing. And you know, Nehemiah had to go back to, the furlough season ended. He had to go back to work. So he went back to southern Iran and was cupbearer to the king. They put all these things in place, all these agreements in place. So that's how they should have been living. For example, they had warehouses that they were meant to bring each year to put in grain and other things to enable the Levites and the priests to get food and the poor to get food. But unfortunately, whilst he was away, it didn't quite work out like that. Tobiah, who was one of the people who had opposed the work, had been given one of these grain warehouses and had used it for his own purposes. When Nehemiah came back after 12 years or so and heard and saw what had happened, he was very upset. In fact, to say he was very upset would be an understatement. He kicked Tobiah out. He threw out all his belongings out of these rooms he did some pretty nasty things as well to the people that allowed this to happen. This was not meant to happen. Nehemiah sought justice. We saw that earlier, and this was not just. And you know, sometimes we need to keep reviewing. We need to keep looking back and say, is this how it was meant to be? I just wanted to close out by saying that as a leadership, before COVID and lockdown and this sort of strange times that we're in started, we had already started to reflect on the future leadership of the church, because we're very aware that we need new leaders. We need diversity in our leadership. We need people who are going to bring new vision and new passion. It'd be great to have women in leadership on the leadership team as well. So I guess I'd just like to sort of say that if in any way, when you listen about the story of Nehemiah, it quickens your heart and says, yes, I've got a passion for Saltus for Church. I want to help the people worship God better. I want to come alongside. And these characteristics that Nehemiah had, you see in yourself, then talk to someone. Talk to me, talk to someone else on the leadership team. Because we really need to start to develop our sort of next generation of leaders for the church. So let's just pray, and then we'll hand back to Hazel. Lord, I want to thank you for Nehemiah. Thank you for the role model that he is. Lord, we do pray for ourselves as a church. Lord, as we come before you and we say we want to have things restored. We want to continually see you more and more at work. Lord, would you pray for the leadership of the, we pray for the leadership of the church. We pray for future leaders as well, to come forward, and to bring vision, to bring passion, to bring energy. And Lord, we just ask that your work will be done. We ask this in your name. Amen.